Welcome to The Art of Happiness. I'm your host, Tamara, joined by my beautiful co-host, Erin, where we talk about all things happiness. For those who are just now joining us, we have decided that today's topic is going to be all about the hobbies that we decided we were going to try first. And Erin, you decided sourdough making, right?
That's right, Tam. Well, I think originally it started out as bread making is what I was thinking it was going to be. And my husband, Adam, surprised me with like a sourdough making starter kit. And so I was like, well, let's just do that, I guess.
Yes.
Quite intimidating. I started diving into that world a little bit. And I think it's a lot. It's a lot to dive into. I can tell you there's a lot of opinions out there about sourdough. There is a lot of different ways to make sourdough. Everybody has their little tips and tricks. So
I need to know what the opinions are of sourdough. I didn't know someone could have an opinion about sourdough. They're anti-sourdough?
I mean, no. I think there's just a lot of pride in if you make the perfect sourdough.
Oh.
And if you can like decorate it and make it look really cool. I don't know if you've ever seen sourdough making videos.
No.
But when you bake it, there's a way to make even designs in the top of it.
Ooh. So the opinions are your sourdough is not as pretty as my sourdough.
Yeah, that.
My sourdough is a better singer than your sourdough.
If there's not enough air in it to create the whole, like the pockets, air pockets.
And, okay.
You know, if the texture's wrong or, I don't know, not brown enough. There's all sorts of things.
So many judgments.
So, you know, to be like, when I went into this, it's been a very humbling experience, I should say.
Go on, tell me. You've been humbled by dough.
Yes, I know. I never would have thought. So in our previous, you know, episode, I talked about how I am not domestic at all.
Right?
I don't know how to cook. So I didn't have very high expectations. However, I thought that I'm pretty smart. So I thought I can read a recipe.
Sure.
And I can figure this out.
Right.
It shouldn't be too difficult.
And you're very precise, like just naturally as
generally.
A person. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how like baking is a precise thing. So yeah, I'm dying to hear how you got humbled by it.
I don't know if it's just like being like busy working mom, having a lot going on that it's hard to focus on, but it's a multi-day process and I didn't expect that. And so to fit it in has been a challenge and I'm not sure that I like it, honestly. I know that that's kind of like taboo to say because I feel like people that are into sourdough that think it's amazing, they love it. But I'm not sure I'm sold on it yet. So
well, tell me what, okay, so yeah. It's a multi-day process. Yeah. Take me through the process. Like
yes.
Start me at the beginning.
Yes. So I definitely have some tips that I've learned already.
Okay.
That I can just share, but also like how it goes. So the very first thing that you have to do is get a starter, sourdough starter, which comes in a little packet.
Baby.
Yeah, the starter baby. And so that is very inexpensive. Like I think the one we got was like $8 and it comes in a little baggie. It's dry.
Already alive?
It is, but you have to feed it the water and the flour.
So adoption begins day one.
Yes, exactly. And so you put water, flour in it, and there's this like whole 5 to 7 day process of like getting it to activate and become alive.
Well, gotta figure out its personality.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that was the first one, and that alone, I was like, I don't know if I'm made up for this every day, managing and remembering to do this on top of our other to-do list.
Okay.
So anyway, I felt like I did a good job. It came alive. It's all bubbly. It smells really good, you know?
Ooh.
And once you have that, so about a week, it's ready to start actually baking with.
So you have to like prepare, like you have to know a week in advance you're wanting to make sourdough bread. You don't just have to wake up one day and you're like, I'm making sourdough bread today.
Correct. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. Now, once you have the starter, you save it. People save it for years. Like they will just keep feeding it forever.
It can live for years.
Yes. Like years and years and years. Yes. Like I think, and you can like give your starter to people. Like it can become a whole community thing.
Oh my God. Generational.
Yes, it can.
So then what generation is yours? Is yours first gen?
Yeah. First gen.
X gen.
First gen.
The millennial.
Yeah. Millennial gen. I mean, it should be, right?
Right.
So yes, that is. And then a couple little tips that I realized along the way was one, have a big enough jar for your starter.
Okay.
Because when you feed it, you know, you keep adding stuff, but it actually grows. Like it starts to bubble up and expand and get bigger.
I think I saw your post on Instagram it exploded.
It did. It got all over the countertop. My jar. And I think my jar was actually big enough. It was just that you're supposed to actually discard some of it when you take it out of the fridge. So while you're feeding, let me get back to that. When you're feeding it, you keep it in the fridge in between. And then when you're ready to actually use it, you get it out and you feed it flour and water. And then you let it sit out for overnight. And then it expands and grows. And then it's really ready. It's alive. However, I didn't discard anything when I added because I don't know. I didn't realize it was going to expand so much. So it just exploded over the jar, onto the countertop, everywhere. And which was like, I felt good that it was alive.
Yeah.
And I thought, I was like, that's going to work.
It's like a feed me, Seymour kind of
scene. I mean, it really was. I was like, this is an animal.
It's alive.
But yes. It was such a sticky mess to clean up. And I was like, oh, this already is like too much for me.
You were worried about your kids coming in and just wreaking havoc. And you're
now
like, I'm doing this on
child.
My own.
The starter baby.
Yeah, the third child's always the crazy one, they say.
Oh, anyway. So once you have that, it's good, you know. But so big enough jar. So you really want to have like a glass jar with a lid. So like a mason jar is what I ended up using. It's really good. And you have to use the other thing is you have to use a scale and measure in grams. And so just, I don't know, it's just a change of thinking if you're not used to cooking and
sure.
doing all that. So, once that's ready to go, then you can actually start baking with it.
Okay. So you're there.
I'm ready.
You're on
baking.
Day of,
yes,
I'm
pretty sure
today.
That this thing is going to work because it's alive, right? So the next thing you have to do is mix water and flour, and you're supposed to do this autolyze thing. So you mix these water, and you get like a shaggy dough. That's what they describe it as.
It's just water
and flour. It's like dehydrate the flour.
Okay.
So you do that and let that sit for a couple hours. And then you add your starter in. Mm-hmm. And I swear, all the directions about sourdough give you this range. You need to do like 500 to 1,000 grams of flour. And then, you know, I don't know. It's just these...
Which is so wild because I thought we were just talking about baking being so precise.
Right. And I think that's been the frustrating thing with sourdough because I think you have to take good notes each time you do it because
like
I had a couple that were clearly too wet and because they have this range. And so I was like, well, I guess I'll just kind of pick middle of the range, you know, for this flour water mixture ratio. And so it's too wet. So it got this like flat, hard dough that was really not very good. But then I didn't take notes on exactly what I did. So when I went to do it again, I just kind of was like, all right, I know I need less water, but like how much less water? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's this like, I guess, tip is just take notes every time you make sourdough bread.
No kidding. It kind of sounds like you really do like, and it's almost like you create your own recipe.
Yes. And that's
as you go along with it. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is kind of cool. Like,
pushing
creative,
you out of your comfort zone a little bit because, again, we talked about like how you're really good with precision. And then when you're kind of almost forced to have a variable in there, how did you handle that? Was that a stressor?
Yes.
Definitively.
Definitely.
Yes. Do you feel like that was enough of a stressor to be like, not so sure about this? Or do you feel like that was a stressor that you found a good challenge?
I think that I wouldn't call it a good challenge. I am definitely one to not give up very easily on things and almost to a fault.
Oh.
And that's definitely something that I was like, okay, I really need to go back to when we talked about how we decide what hobbies you want to pick. And one of my mantras was like, if it's not working, it's okay to quit.
I remember you saying, yeah.
Yeah. And so that is something that I'm like kind of struggling with, I think, at the moment with this because it's just been frustrating. Yeah. So
frustrating. Yeah. So you didn't, would you say that there's any part that you enjoyed in the sourdough making, or was it pretty much overall like you were just pushing through to say that you tried sourdough?
I think pushing through to say I've tried it is mostly accurate.
I'm so sorry.
You know, I did learn a lot. I would say I learned a lot about the whole process of bread making and some different things. Like, so one nice thing with this was I did segue and took a little break from it, and I tried to make just regular bread. I ended up making English muffins, which I thought would be really complicated, but it was actually way easier.
That's great.
And so and those turned out great. So I felt really good about that, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think maybe it's evolving. This whole thing, I think that I actually have one more dough ready to go in my house right now. I'm going to bake it today.
Are you really?
Like, if this doesn't turn out well, I think I'm going to segue into, you know, doing something else. Like just getting me in the kitchen and kind of like getting over that fear of cooking and baking has almost gotten me to where I want to start trying other things.
Okay.
And maybe like getting into other kind of cooking or.
So staying in the cooking realm.
Yeah.
Just definitively not in the sourdough realm.
I think so. And I don't know what I'm going to do with my starter baby.
Did starter baby get a name or is starter baby
the name? I just ended up calling it starter baby. I thought that was pretty cute.
I can see you talking to Adam and being like, did you feed starter baby this morning? Don't forget to feed her.
I did. There was a couple weeks where I was like, can you feed starter baby, please? I don't want to mess with starter baby.
Oh, no. It's like the child that you didn't want. It was an oops baby. Yeah. Oh, my God. It was your oops baby.
Oh, gosh.
Dang.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So things you learned about yourself was that, one, you weren't really enjoying the whole opportunity of kind of not having, like, when it came to the water amounts, like, that was really, like, a stressor for you.
Instructions, I think, was hard for me.
So do you think in looking for other hobbies, like, that's going to be something that you're going to kind of keep in mind as far as making sure that it's something that doesn't really have a window of flexibility? It's more like, this is how you do it. This is how you do it well.
You know, that's a great question because I think that's an area I need to grow. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it's actually really good for me to, mm-hmm. because I mean, it really did get outside of my comfort zone in a lot of ways, even though it's not like, I don't know. It's not like a very exciting topic in my, you know, hobby necessarily.
It didn't excite you. It didn't. Yeah, what was that word I harped on the other day? Energize.
It energized.
It didn't energize you.
That's right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's great. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's what the whole point of this podcast is, right? Mm-hmm. Is you and I very much recognizing that we don't have a hobby and exploring hobbies mm-hmm. to find ones that do.
Yeah.
And in that process, kind of learning a little bit more about ourselves personally. So do you think that like the sourdough portion like kind of gave you some insight to yourself? Or do you feel like you already kind of knew that you were that person that was not going to enjoy some variability and then that just kind of confirmed that for you?
You know, I think that I thought I would like it more than I did, you know. I didn't really understand all the intricacies of it. Mm-hmm. And so both. I think I learned a lot, but I also, there was some confirmation bias there too. Like, because I am not, I've always thought of myself as not very good in the kitchen. And so it almost confirmed that, which is not.
Well, if anything, now you have proof to Adam. Be like, baby, look, I can't cook tonight. It's got to be you.
But
you
want to.
What I do,
you know,
in there.
Yeah, I know.
It's not that I don't want to. It's like, look what happened.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. But I, so I don't, we'll see. I will see. I, you know, the, like I said, the English muffin thing, that was kind of like, oh, maybe I just need to try regular bread that's just pretty straightforward, you know? The thing with sourdough, it just like, it really takes multiple days. And when you're busy working mom,
how do you plan
and like
that
you have
out?
Stuff like on the weekends mm-hmm. and like, I don't really like to get the stuff out when the kids are running around crazy.
Sure.
And so I think that was the other factor is just like, I need something that I can kind of easily put away and pick up again. Mm-hmm. Once you start the sourdough making process, you kind of have to finish it. You know, you can't just like leave that dough in there for a week and come back and it's like a hard
and
rock.
And hope that it's still doing great.
Yeah.
So, it'll go through an emo phase if you do that.
So I think something that I can do I can come back to, but it's not going to like, if I put it away for a week or two, it's going to be okay.
It's so interesting. I never would have thought that like you would have had to plan a week ahead
of
like when you're going to start sourdough. That would be challenging as a mom because I feel like we talk often about how, we're finding more time in our lives, but it's not a lot.
Yeah.
It's just significant enough for us to notice that it's there and that we want to fill it with something fulfilling.
Right.
And how do you take that little bit of time and plan so far ahead with that? Like, I feel like I'm living day to day most times with the kids,
definitely.
Right? You never know what you're going to get into when the kids wake up. Are they going to be like this totally free-flowing personality? Or are they going to be like, why are you attacking me? Like every question you ask them, right?
Yep.
So I just can't even imagine. I can see why that would not be probably ideal for this chapter of your life.
For me, I don't know. It makes my personality. Because, you know, I'm sure, I think there's lots of moms that do it successfully.
Oh, sure.
But I don't know. I guess I think the factor that I didn't grow up, I don't like have the skills in my toolbox to do that kind of hobby while I'm in this phase in my life. It's just maybe just not a good time.
Yeah.
Like maybe I can revisit it in the future.
All right.
But so I think I'm going to segue. Me and Adam took a cooking class last weekend. It was like a date night thing.
Yeah. You were mentioning it. How'd that go?
So that actually ended up being really fun. We went to this place locally, it's called Kitchen Conservatory, and it was awesome.
Okay.
And You can go, they have lots of themed nights. And so we picked a Paris themed date night. And it was just this hands-on cooking thing. Mm-hmm. And it was more free flowing. And the teacher was really cool. And it was just like chopping vegetables and just kind of a little more, less precision, I guess, and more fun, you know. And it had a couple drinks involved. So
that helps. That helps a lot. Sometimes
no children running around. So I was like, oh, maybe I need to like just dive into some just normal cooking.
Adam into it. Yeah. You said like constantly, like he's the one that kind of is in the kitchen in your household. So maybe even having him as like a buffer to give you some confidence while you're in that. I bet that was probably a very different game.
Yes.
That's
way
awesome.
Way more relaxed. So, and not that I probably put too much pressure on myself, but you know.
Well, that's just the nature of being a mom though, right? Yeah. Like we're just putting pressure on ourselves constantly to be the best like mom, to be the best caretaker, you know, to be the best wife. Like I just think that that's just kind of the culture that we're in, right? And so I could see how that would be so easy to apply even in the hobby realm.
Yeah. It is so hard to just relax into a new, like a hobby. I don't know. That's another thing I need to work on.
Well, so, I can tell you after listening to your story, you have successfully convinced me I will not be trying sourdough making.
I didn't scare off our listeners too much because I know that it is a great hobby for a lot of people.
Please do not take our personal experiences to be like the tried and true, like this is what it's going to be like. It's definitely take it as more of a, well, that was a lovely suggestion. Some food for thought to consider. Do I want to try it based off of that? Tamara says no. But maybe you said listener does.
Yeah.
Okay. So check mark. Sourdough.
Check mark.
Done.
Yeah. And I think like to me, I'm like, this is just like a little building block. It's like I'm going to segue to something else. Right. And who knows what's going to happen.
I know. I love it.
So, but it was a good experience. So I am happy to share that with everybody.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us today. I mean, I learned I'm going to be really sad to not hear about starter baby. Wait. So what happens to starter baby?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Do you kill starter baby?
Gift it to somebody?
Because it's generational.
Maybe.
How long can you neglect starter baby?
Like a week. You have to like give flour to it every week. Mm-hmm. Although I've seen videos of people reviving star babies. So
revive them?
Oh my apparently God. You can if
it
you're skilled.
It's like a living creature. Yeah. Oh my God. Okay.
So I don't know. Don't know.
I need to know if you end up killing starter baby.
Okay.
Or if starter baby is donated to somebody. Please do not donate starter baby.
I think
baby
that whole jar
me.
Is just going
to
go in the trash.
Now I'm so concerned.
I'm so joking.
I'm getting emotionally attached to starter baby.
I'm not.
I need you to promise me starter baby will live on.
Okay. All right. I will find it
another
a good
household.
Home. I will find it a
through
good
adoption.
Home
I will personally, okay. I'm going to make a sign. Take a picture of you holding the sign and we'll post it on our socials that we will give away this starter baby. Anyone who's willing to accept, it just needs a loving home.
It does.
A caring mom. Yep. It had a caring mom. It's just caring mom's busy.
Yep.
And it needs a caring mom that just can take care of it and keep it for generations. Don't kill starter baby.
All right, Tam. I will let you know what happens to starter baby.
I think that wraps up today.
I think so.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for sitting with us while we figure out where poor starter baby will end up. We'll post it.
Joining us on the Art of Hobbiness. We look forward to talking with you next time.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.